Exodus chapter 19. Saklat tayo ng Exodus chapter 19. And before we get into the book of Exodus 19, it's important to review. I-review natin kung ano yung mga napag-aralan natin. Dahil bagong section ang chapter 19 hanggang chapter 40. All right, so we learned that the book of Exodus can be divided into two sections. No, natatandaan ba ninyo? Dalawa ang sections ng aklat ng Exodus. By the way, anong ibig sabihin ng word Exodus?
Exit.
Exit. Tama. The word Exodus means exit. Ano ang tema? Dalawa ang tema ng aklat ng Exodus. So, from chapter 1 to chapter 18, ito ay redemption. Pwede rin deliverance. Parehas yan. Kaya lang ginamit ko yung R para alliterated siya. Tapos from 19 to 40, reverence. Tama, reverence. And pwedeng i-divide ito sa mga chapters. 1, 2, 3. So you have from chapter 1 to chapter 6. This is about Moses and Israel's slavery. Tapos from chapter 7 to 11, this would be Pharaoh and the plagues. Tapos from chapter 12 to 18, deliverance. Deliverance and provisions. So, nadaan na natin ito. Nalampasan na natin ang kalahati ng book. You see? We're halfway there. And we just got going right through the book and seeing how God delivered the children of Israel and provided for them. God is faithful. And we can trust the Lord. Then we have four sections here. Four sections here. So from chapter 19 hanggang 24, hindi na istorya. Ito ay mga prinsipyo. Law. Batas. The law. And from chapter 25 to 31... yes, the tabernacle pattern. Tabernacle pattern. Binigay ng Diyos kay Moses ang plano ng Diyos para sa tabernakulo o tolda na dapat niyang i-construct. Blueprint lang muna ang binigay sa kanya. Tapos yung kaisa-isang kwento sa section na itong reverence section, yung 32 hanggang 32 hanggang 34, maikli na, dalawang chapters, ito yung idolatry na ginawa ni Aaron na kapatid ni Moses. Yan ang kasaysayan dyan. Story, history. Tapos balik ulit tayo sa tabernacle ulit at na-complete na yung tabernacle. So tabernacle construction. And pag na-master mo ito, nakuha mo na ang buong aklat ng Exodus. And it's the same, you got the book of Genesis. Natatandaan niyo yung apa, yung dalawang bahagi ng Exodus, ay ng Genesis, yung apat na pangyayari. At tapos yung apat na patriarchs. Ngayon, nakikita niyo na yung dalawang bahagi ng Exodus. At nasa chapter 19 na tayo. So we're now beginning a new section. A section where we understand that God has a standard for holiness that He expects for those who He saves. You see that? And so, kapag ikaw niligtas ka ng Diyos, ang layunin ng Diyos para sa buhay mo ay sambahan siya sa kabanalan. And so you see there is that the purpose of redemption is reverence. And so you have the theme beginning in chapter 19 all the way to chapter 40, the theme of moral holiness and reverence to the Lord. Okay? So let's look at chapter 19 and let's see what the Lord has for us here. Dito sa chapter 19, this is God's presence upon the mount. And let's look at verse number 1. In the third month, when the children of Israel were gone forth out of the land of Egypt, so tatlong buwan na sila na pag-alagala sa wilderness of Sin, at nakarating na sila sa wilderness of Sinai. At doon sa map natin, yun ang pinaka-ilalim. Makikita natin sa Bible maps natin. If you look at your Bible maps, you'll see the wilderness and the Mount Sinai at the lower part of the peninsula beyond Egypt. And so 3 months after the Exodus, they came to the wilderness of Sinai, verse 2, and they were departed from Rephidim, remember the place of rest, and where they came to the desert of Sinai and had pitched in the wilderness, and there Israel camped before the mount. So, meron palang mountain dito. This is a mountainous region. And this is considered Mount Horeb. Mount Horeb is a synonymous mount as Mount Sinai. They're the same. Magkaparehas sila. At hanggang ngayon, nandyan pa rin yung Mount Horeb. You can still see this mountain. At mga apat na kilometers, mga isang kilometers na layo sa bundok na ito ngayon, ay merong isang lugar na kung saan pwede magtayo ng mga tolda, mga camp, yung Israel. It's still there. Even the plain where they were able to encamp in front of the mountain is still there today. So, verse number 3, and Moses went up unto God, and the Lord called unto him out of the mountain, saying, thus shalt thou say to the house of Jacob, tell the children of Israel, ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, how that I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. Now therefore, if ye will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall ye be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So God called Moses up to the mount. The people were to stay back. And God basically gave Moses his proposal. This is the Mosaic covenant. This is not the Abrahamic covenant. This is the covenant that's based upon the condition of obeying God's voice and keeping his covenant. And so this is a Mosaic covenant. Look, if the children of Israel will obey me and will keep my commandments, I will make them a royal priesthood and holy nation. They're going to be a peculiar treasure unto me. Yung word peculiar dyan, ang ibig sabihin ng peculiar ay tinubos o binili. Hindi ibig sabihin ng peculiar yung hindi pangkaraniwang o kakaiba or strange. The word peculiar today means weird or strange. But in 1611, the English word peculiar meant purchased possession, prize possession. So if the children of Israel wants to become a theocracy under God, as long as they obey his voice and keep his commandments, then or the covenant, then they will be to him a special people above all the peoples of the nations of the world. This is here the birth of the nation of Israel. So this is where they become from a roving band of nomads scattered here and there, even in the days of Abraham, starting at Abraham, clear until Moses. This is the time, this is the place at Mount Horeb where God is going to establish them as His holy people. And so, that's the conditional covenant of Moses. So verse number 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people. So Moses heard from God. Now Moses is going to gather the people and bring them God's message. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words. That's important. All these words. Lahat ng mga salita. Again, the Bible here tells us of God's inspired and preserved words. So it's not just in the New Testament that we find the doctrine of verbal preservation. The words of God have been preserved. Otherwise, there would be no basis for the Mosaic Covenant. And so, do we have the words of God? Yes. Can we keep the words of God? Yes. Should we receive the words of God? Yes. What if we ignore the words of God? Then God will ignore us, you see. And so we have it here, all these words which the Lord commanded him. Verse 8, very important. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. So, nangako ang mga tao. Ito yung panatang makabayan ng bagong nation ng Israel. Lahat ng sinabi ng Diyos ay gagawin namin. E dalawa lang yung sinabi niya. Obey my voice, indeed, and keep my covenant. And the people of Israel said, all that the Lord has spoken we will do. And Moses returned the words to the people unto the Lord. Now so Moses goes back to the Lord and tells the Lord, all that you have spoken the people have agreed that they will do. So pabalik-balik siya sa bundok, sa baba. Sa bundok ulit. Kausap niya ang Diyos. And he's going up and down the mountain here communicating. And he's a picture of Jesus, a picture of the mediator between God and man. Moses is a picture of Jesus here. Anyway, and so, verse number 9, and the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. Verse 10, and the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day, for the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. So, sabi ng Panginoon, maghanda na yung mga tao dahil ako ang bababa, papunta ako sa bundok ng Sinai, sabi ng Panginoon. Now, this is how the Lord operates. This is the gospel here. Because you have the third day. Is that significant in the New Testament? The third day. What's important about the third day? Jesus resurrected on the third day. And so it's and the Lord will come down. What's significant about that? Well, can we reach the Lord? No, we can't reach Him. He has to come down. And the Lord came down and met with His people. So we love Him because He first loved us. Tandaan natin, kung hindi kumilos ang Diyos, wala tayong pamamaraan kung paano tayo makaabot sa Kanya. So Siya ang bumaba para sa atin. That's grace. That's amazing grace. Verse number 12, and thou shalt set the bounds unto the people round about, saying, take heed to yourselves that you go not into the mount, nor touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. So wait a minute. I thought God was love. So if you break this rule and you go up into the mountain, you will be put to death. God is so holy that we cannot approach Him in the flesh. And so you shall be put to death. And that there shall not a hand touch it. Wag na wag ninyong hawakan ng bundok. Huwag kayong pumasok dyan sa taas ng bundok. Huwag niyong akyatin yan. Huwag niyong lapitan ng bundok. Don't even come close to the mountain. He shall be stoned and or shot through, whether it be beast or man. Kahit na hayop, kahit na tao, it doesn't matter. It shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, there shall come up, they shall come up to the mount. Pwede na kayong umakyat pag narinig ninyo yung trompeta. Where did they get that trumpet? Who's blowing the trumpet? It was God. This is the trump of God. And when you hear the trump of God, then you're allowed to go up into the mountain. Does that sound familiar? Do you understand that we are waiting for the last trump of God before we can go up? Amen? So sa ngayon, hindi pa tayo pwedeng umakyat. We can't go up right now. But when we hear the trump, amen, it's goodbye, world. Goodbye, old world of sin. We go into the presence of the Lord. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, be ready against the third day, come not at your wives. Don't even have relationships with your wives, because God wants our full attention given to this important meeting. When God meets with his people, there's nothing more important on earth. Not even human relationships. Kaya dapat unahin talaga ang Diyos sa lahat ng mga relationships natin. Sagrado ang meeting ng Panginoon sa atin. Even in the face of family and blood, God comes first. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mount and a voice of trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people was in the camp trembled. I mean, this was a scary thing that God did. Verse 17, and Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount, and the Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke, because the Lord descended it upon it in fire, and smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. This is more than a volcano. This is not volcanic. This mountain here is not a volcano. It's a miracle. It's a powerful, supernatural meeting between God and his people. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also which come near to the Lord sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them. Lest the Lord break forth upon them. Yung break forth dyan, ibig sabihin, this is when God judges them. So if they break the standard, if they break the rule of holiness, God will judge them. And so God himself will break forth. And Moses said unto the Lord, the people cannot come up to Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, set the bounds upon the mount and sanctify it. And the Lord said unto him, away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee, but let not the priests and the people break through to the camp unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them. So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. So this introduction lang yan. Patungo na tayo sa batas, sa chapter 20. And so this is just an introduction. You know, God is saying that, hey, listen, I'm getting ready to deal with you as a nation. I'm getting ready to give you the rules of the covenant that you said, you promised that you were going to obey. And so this is a big preparation for Exodus chapter 20, for what's about to come forth. And so we find that God, coming to God, relationship with God demands holiness. Relationship with God demands holiness. So meron palang standard ng holiness ang Diyos. He really does have standards of holiness. God, the word holy means sanctified, different or set apart. And God is totally different from us. Tayo, nilikha sa wangis ng Diyos, pero ang Diyos ay hindi katulad natin. God is thrice holy, perfectly holy, and if we violate His holiness, He will judge us when we violate His holiness. Kaya huwag tayong magtaka kung hindi tayo banal at hindi tayo sumusunod sa alintunturin ng Diyos, pinapalo tayo ng Diyos. You can expect God's judgment on you when you do not honor His standards of holiness. And that's why a lot of Christians are in trouble, because they don't think that holiness matters. Holiness doesn't matter anymore today. We can just wear what we want to wear. We can just say what we want to say. We can just watch what we want to watch and do what we want to do. But that's not so in the day of Moses. Now let me ask you a question. Did God change? No. Does God desire for us as Christians to be a peculiar treasure, a holy nation, a kingdom of priests? Well, go over to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Nais ba ng Diyos na tayo ay maging katulad ng Israel na banal at kakaiba at maging kayamanan ng Diyos? Well, sinagot yan ni Peter. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 5. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. Here's what Peter said to the churches. Remember, Peter wrote his letter to the churches in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. These are churches that were scattered because they used to be part of the church in Jerusalem. And because Paul, or Saul at that time, was persecuting the church scattered everywhere, and they planted lots of churches over in Asia Minor or Turkey, modern-day Turkey today. And so here's what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, "Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood." Where did he get that theology? Well, he got that from Exodus, you see, during the time of Moses, right here in Exodus 19. This is a link to Exodus 19. "A spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, whereof also it is contained in the scripture, 'Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you, therefore, which believe, he is precious. But unto them which are be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner.'" Verse 8, "And a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they also they were appointed." Here it is, verse 9. "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and an holy nation, a peculiar people." So yun, kayo yun, mga churches. Kung paano tinuring ng Diyos na ang Israel ay banal at sa Kanya, ang turing ng Diyos sa mga simbahan o sa mga iglesia ay banal at sa Kanya rin. The church doesn't replace Israel. God still has a future for Israel. We participate in the spiritual aspects of the blessing, but we do not replace the physical Israel. God wants a physical nation representing Him here on earth. But God also wants a spiritual people representing Him here on earth. Who is the spiritual people that is to represent the Lord here on earth? The church. Tayo yun. That's us. "Unto you, therefore, that believe," if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God has a plan and a purpose to use you as a light here in this dark, evil, present, wicked world of sin. But if you do not live a holy life, then the unsaved world can't see the difference. You see that? Kung hindi tayo banal, hindi ho tayo magiging kakaiba sa hindi ligtas. Kaya ang layunin ng Diyos talaga para sa mga Kristiyano ay maging banal. Pero hindi ka pwedeng maging banal kung wala kang redemption. Kaya kung hindi ka ligtas, unahin mo muna, maligtas ka muna. Huwag mo nang pag-usapan yung holiness. Kasi kung wala kang banal na Espiritu ng Diyos sa buhay mo, wala kang amalay patungkol sa holiness. So God puts the things in order. First, you need to be saved. You need to be redeemed. But watch this, after you're redeemed, God wants you to be worshiping Him, holy. God wants you to be reverencing Him. Kaya hindi ko naiintindihan yung mga tao na gusto ito, pero ayaw ito. Maraming mga Kristiyano, dito ako, pero dito hindi. I don't understand a Christianity that says, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be holy. You don't find that person in the Bible. That is not biblical Christianity. To say, well, you know, I'm saved, I'm born again, but I don't want to be separated unto the Lord. You understand something? The fundamental attribute of God is holiness. Salvation is Him separating you from the world. That's why you're called out of the world. And you're called unto Him. Salvation is a separation. And holy living is separation. So there is no such person in the Bible who says, I want to be saved, but I don't want to be separated. Well, that's a contradiction. Salvation itself changes the human condition. Salvation is a transformation. It's a status change. When you come to Jesus as Savior, your status changes. You used to not be saved, and now, because of your union with Christ, you are now saved. You see? Your status change. But it's one thing to get out of Egypt, and it's another thing for Egypt to get out of you. Pwede mong ilabas ang tao sa Egypt, pero paano mo ilalabas yung Egypt sa tao? Na nasanayan niya yung buhay ng Egypt. Yan ang trabaho ng banal na Espiritu Santo ng Diyos. And so we need to be patient with everyone, especially those who say they know Jesus as Savior, but they're not living for Him. Malamang, marami talagang mga Kristiyano, ligtas sila, pero hindi sila surrender sa Panginoon. There is such a thing as Christians who are born again saved, but they are not surrendered to the Lord. Now, you know what? They will never know the blessing of holiness and separation. Their path is going to be the path of sin and tears and sorrow. And God the Father Himself will make sure they are not happy in sin as long as they are truly born again. You see? The Mosaic Covenant is national. National ito para sa Israel. Pero ang Abrahamic Covenant ay spiritual. Merong spiritual na aspeto yun. Yun ang grasya. Moses gave us the law. Jesus gives us grace. Dito, magtrabaho ka para makuha mo ang pabor ng Diyos. Pero kay Kristo, kahit na anong gawin mo, hindi naman tatanggapin ng Diyos. Kaya ang Diyos mismo ang gumawa. So may grasya ang Diyos para sa mananampalataya. Alright, so Peter applies this to the church. And we need to, as a church, we need to make sure that we are living like the biblical pattern here. A royal priesthood. Anong ibig sabihin ng royal priesthood? Ibig sabihin, lahat tayo dito ay pare na pwedeng lumapit sa Diyos anumang oras, anumang araw, anumang pangyayari. We are all priests. Hindi nyo kailangan ng pastor para lumapit sa Diyos. You don't need a pastor to get close to the Lord. You are a priest. You can go to God yourself. And you should. And you should learn the Bible for yourself. Stop being spoon-fed by the preacher. Learn the Bible for yourself. And then, God wants you, and offering sacrifices as a priest. Magandang pag-aralan ang priesthood sa Old Testament. Dahil doon natin makikita kung ano yung mga responsibility natin bilang anak ng Diyos, bilang pari sa Diyos. Alam mo, bawal yung alak sa mga pari. Eh kung tayo ang pari ng Diyos ngayon sa New Testament, did bawal pa rin ba yung alak sa atin? Yes! Ah. And so on and so forth. God wants us to be a, let's see here, a chosen generation, yung generation natin. Now, hindi natin pwedeng sagutin ang generation ng mga bata. Bahala kayo, mga bata kayo, sa generation ninyo. Pero tayo yung generation natin, siguraduhin natin tayo ang nagmamahal sa Diyos at naglilingkod sa Kanya. We will be that chosen generation. An holy nation. Now, we're not a nation. Hindi tayo national. Pero tayo ay spiritual. We can be a holy nation unto the Lord. We represent the kingdom of God here on earth as the church of the living God. And so, we have something very significant. Kaya, iba talaga ang church sa lahat ng mga organization ng mundo. The church is a very unique organization in the whole world. There's not a place on earth that cares for the soul except for the church. I mean, if it's a biblical church, if it's a Bible-believing, biblical Baptist church, they should care for souls. There's not a place on earth that wants to encourage Christians to live for the Lord like the church. In the world, ye shall have tribulation. But in the church, you are a holy nation. Maiwanan natin yung mga problema sa labas. Magsama tayo, mag-encourage tayo. Para pagtapos na yung service natin, balik ulit tayo sa bulok ng mundong yan. At nawa, ipakita natin ang liwanag ng salita ng Diyos para magkaroon ng pag-asa ang mga walang pag-asa. Amen? God wants us to be a holy church. He doesn't want us to be a big church. He doesn't need a big church. You know what He needs? He needs a holy church. He doesn't want a small church neither. There's no benefit, no blessing in being a small church. If it's a backslidden church. God wants a holy church. Whether you have, well, how many, 10? Or if you have 100? Or 500? Or 1,000? God expects that to be a holy nation. That's God's expectation. He wants holiness. Anong ibig sabihin nun? Our music is not the world. Our dress is not the world. Our heart, our attitude is not the world. Our entertainment is not the world. Our joy, our speech is not the world. Man, we want to be holy, for He is holy. And this is God's plan. We're not a theocracy. We're not a theocracy like Israel was. But we are under God, that's for sure. The church is to be under God. And so on and so forth. So, we're ready for next week, chapter 20, when we get into the terms of the covenant. Ano yung mga pinangako ng mga Israel na susunod kami sa iyo, Lord? Yung Ten Commandments na yon, Exodus chapter 20. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the standards of holiness that you have given us, Lord, in the Word of God. And we understand, Lord, we live in a day where people are so confused about holiness and they don't understand why it is important, how to be practically holy in this day and age. And There's so much confusion. People do away with holiness, and that's really not good. For you are holy. We don't even understand meeting with you and the significance of meeting with you. Pray, Father, you would bless. Pray, Father, you'd forgive us and cleanse us. Help us to apply the principles of the Word of God. Help us to keep your words and to receive it and keep it and apply it to our lives. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.